This is Signal 337, the podcast for the innately curious and creative.
Hi, friends. This is Tim McKenna, and this is another episode of Signal 337. Coming at you here towards the end of 2020. Only 9 or 10 days left. I don't even know. Looking at my calendar and just staring at the numbers. But I think that we can all agree that 2020 has been one hell of a year. And I am definitely looking forward to 2021. I had a lot of goals in the beginning of this year to record more often and publish more often. But it's been a little bit of a challenge to keep motivated and also, you know, find topics that are kind of relevant during the daily dumpster fire that has been going on in the U.S. and abroad. However, I am incredibly appreciative of this last year in a lot of respects. Very lucky, and I'm very appreciative. So I'm trying to take the time to reflect and think about where I can help out more and where I can be of service. And the more I keep thinking about this, I'm thinking this podcast is something that definitely can serve that need. It's something that I know really well, the topics, and it helps me grow. And I always am appreciative when I hear back from anyone who's listened to an episode or two and found some value out of it. So with renewed vigor and optimism and excitement, I'm looking forward to 2021 being the year where you're going to get a lot more episodes and a lot more stuff, more things to sink your teeth into. So, with all that, just want to say thank you for everyone who's been a fantastic, you know, fan of the show and has listened for a while. So, today, I'd like to talk about design systems and why they're valuable, you know, what they're used for, why you probably want to have one if you don't have one. You know, basically an intro to design systems. A design systems 101, if you would like. And there is a lot to talk about with design systems. There is a shit ton of areas to focus on. And I think I'm just going to be very introductory in this episode, talk about it. So some of you who are already working in product design and service design and whatnot, yeah, you may want to skip this episode, maybe, because it might be just same stuff for you. So I'm thinking that probably a lot of you who are earlier in your career or maybe, you know, have now started moving into the tech side of things, and maybe you don't even work in design. Maybe you're more of the business type, you know, working in product management, project management, QA, more of the business leadership stuff. This might be completely new to you. So the goal would be as a 101 crash course into design systems, this will probably be the most helpful for you. And for those of you who do work in design already, yeah, stick around and see what you think about my perspectives and thoughts on it, and love to have a discussion about it. So let's talk about design systems. What the hell is a design system? You know, it's funny, I actually was trying to record this episode a number of times, and I was having a hell of a time, really, to define what it is. Like, I absolutely know what a design system is, but I'm trying to find the very right words to kind of encapsulate this. And I think I'm just going to keep it, you know, pretty simple. Design system is, this is the way that we do things with our products and services. That's pretty simple. It's got the rules, you know, the regulations, the guidelines. It's got, this is how we do things. This is how we create our user interface elements. This is how we set up our typography. This is our color palette. This is how we actually build our services. And I think that's a pretty good definition, albeit very, you know, plain Jane and simple. But, you know, that's pretty much it. Yeah, I mean, I could try to give a more academic, you know, definition. But maybe throughout the course of this episode, you'll be able to understand it a little bit more. You know, the understanding of this is how we do things. So, a number of years ago, when I was making the switch into user experience after leaving the brand and marketing world, I was really interested to know how companies build software, build services, build products at scale. So, you know, when I was making my switch over into user experience, you know, my exposure with a lot of products and stuff was more at the micro level, and like I didn't think beyond my own experience or things. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. You know, how do I use this tool? So I thought about my own experience using a certain tool. And here's a good one. I'm going to put a company on the spot. And again, disclaimer, I'm not paid by this company at all. I just happen to have, you know, liked the service at the time. So I was looking for a project management tool, just basically a to-do list type of a tool for me to be able to keep track of my shit, basically. And, you know, we had Excel and I think Google Sheets, you know, was kind of a thing, but you know, those were you know, data tools. Like those were spreadsheet tools. So I was looking for a tool, and I found this tool called Asana, and we used it at one of the places that I worked at. I was introduced to it there, and I really liked it. You know, it was helpful for me to keep track of the projects that I was working on. And at the time, my boss was setting up, you know, projects in Asana, and he was setting up various tasks to do it. So a very, you know, simple project management tool. And it didn't look like anything that I was used to. One, I was not, you know, introduced to project management tools before, and this was interesting. It was intuitive. It made sense for me. And I was able to basically keep up on all the projects, all the tasks, everything in a project that I was doing. Now, here's where it comes into play with a design system. Because at the time, and this was 2012, at the time, I don't think Asana had a published design system. However, they were using like guidelines for how they wanted their product to look and how to be used and everything. So as I was using Asana to manage my work and, you know, collaborate with the two other guys in my team, I was able to pick it up pretty easily. And the reason why was that there was a consistent, uniform look to everything. You know, when I went in, I knew how to add a new task or a subtask. Like, I knew how to do that. I knew how to delete something. I knew how to add something. I knew how to create a new project. And the reason why it was so intuitive is that the user interface elements, you know, the buttons, the form fields, the components to make a task and then be able to drag it and move it around, they were all pretty uniform. As in, like, I would go into one project and the view would look the same. The content would be different, but the view would look the same, just as I would go into another project. So there was this consistency throughout the whole thing, and it added predictability for how I was going to create and update, you know, tasks. So at the time, like I said, I don't think Asana had like a published design system at that point in time, you know, 8 years ago, but they were building a uniform, consistent product. And as they evolved their platform over time, you know, their design elements, their UI elements, you know, changed slightly, but they weren't wildly different between project to project, from one instance of Asana to another. And for a number of years throughout my career, I would introduce Asana as a project management tool to wherever I was working at, as either, hey, you guys don't have a project management tool, let's use this, or, oh, your other PM tool sucks, so let's use this. And what was great is that no matter where I went at, it was a consistent experience. And that was, you know, helpful. It made my work faster. So because the platform and the UI in the platform was consistent over time and was made it easy for me to use, I thought about, like, wow, I mean, that's just my experience. Now think about all the other people that use this as well. And it goes from a a customization, mentality, like, oh, the customers want this, like, we need to build it just for this customer, to a more product-focused environment, more product, roadmap type of mentality. And while, customer feedback was helpful, there was a roadmap of, like, here's how we're going to build our platform, and there needs to be consistency in everything that we would do. So that was a good experience I had with using a product that had uniform, user interface elements and interactions. Now, flip side. I designed a site once. Early on in my career, I designed a site that had multitudes of different button styles, multitudes of different layouts, different ways to handle certain things. And it was like clever, too clever to be useful, to be usable. And unfortunately, this website still exists, and I have pleaded that they get the thing redesigned. However, it was a shitty experience. Anyone coming to this website didn't know what buttons did what because they were all different. Like every single one of them. On this page, the button was blue, and all it did was, like, show more of the page. Well, that interaction of hide, show, that wasn't consistent in every other page. It was a different color, a different text, and it was just a nightmare. And this was my, my messy, messy attempt at trying to be too clever for my own good. And unfortunately, the site sucks. Objectively, the site sucks because there's not a consistent experience. People don't know what, their expectations are coming to the site. And that is a big difference between something that's more uniform, more product-driven, versus more of a customer request, customer customization type of a mentality. And because I did not introduce a system, a classification of here's how we do our buttons, here's how we do the typography, here's how we do this, it's a hodgepodge. It's a hot mess of a website. And unfortunately, they have other like sister websites, like subsites, all use that same horrific type of mentality and user interface elements, and they look bad. I mean, honestly, they just look bad. So I've got no problem talking about the shitty stuff that I've designed in the past because it helped me grow into a better UI designer at the time and understand user experience better. Two different approaches. One's successful, one isn't. Okay, why? Well, when you are creating a design system, you are trying to reduce the number of issues or the number of inconsistencies that a user is going to run into using your system. You want them to be able to use your system, whatever your product or service is, you want them to be able to easily use it, do their tasks, do their functions, and have a good experience. Well, when you introduce all sorts of different experiences and expectations through inconsistent design, what you end up doing is creating a lot of unpredictability, inconsistency, and that looks amateurish. So the big examples for this, the companies that do this really well that you think, that you see and you don't even really think about, but, you use them every day almost. I mean, look at the big e-commerce sites. I mean, look at Amazon, look at DoorDash, look at any of the e-commerce mobile apps and major websites. They all have a consistency to them. The buy button on Walmart.com is the same no matter what product you're looking at. The buy button on Amazon.com is the same no matter where you're at on Amazon.com. If you're looking at books, if you're looking at exercise equipment, if you're looking at dildos, they're all going to be the same. So when you look at these companies at scale, the Amazons, the Walmarts, the DoorDash, these larger companies that have these multitudes of services and multitudes of products, you're going to have a system of design that needs to be codified, needs to be classified, needs to have some rules of the road so that someone doesn't just go off and create, I'm going to create a new buy button because this is what I like. So a design system really is, here's how we do our stuff. These are the rules, the guidelines of how we build our services and products. Here's how we design them, and here's the code to make them. So what you're going to find in a design system, typically what you're going to find, is the design components. So these are the design elements that you can use in your design tools, like Figma, Sketch, or Adobe XD. Whatever your tool of choice is, a design system is going to have some way to use the elements. Here's how the checkboxes are supposed to look and work. Here's how the form inputs are going to look and work. Here's how the buttons are going to work. Here's how the modals will work. That is all going to be in some sort of tool that you can then pull into your program and be able to start utilizing. So that way you have a consistency, a library of assets to start using that are all using those rules. So that allows designers to quickly start creating, you know, here's a new way that we're going to introduce this product. Like, we're going to use all the same assets, but here's this new product we're going to have. And it's going to use all the same branding. It's going to use all the same designed elements. That way, everyone knows, oh, it's like the other site. Here's the predictability. Here's how I can do X, Y, and Z. You're reducing that cognitive load on the user. So there's the tools for the designers. And then there's the tools for the developers. And the tools for the developers are the code. Now, this can take many different forms. It could be, you know, JavaScript, you know, components. It could be all built in React, Vue, Angular, whatever. Even the most base of just like HTML, CSS, and maybe a little JavaScript. It doesn't matter. There's the code portion to everything. So as the designer has the actual elements that they are building in their design tools, like here's how we do the buttons, here's how this, here's the layouts, here's how all this stuff works. The developer can then look at that and be like, oh, good naming convention, here's all the components that the designer is using, here's the code version of that thing. Now I can pull this in, start populating it with, you know, actual content for things. So those are the two most base elements, the design tools and the developer tools. And you typically have a website, some sort of home to see each of the elements, and you can see the code snippets with it, and usually has some documentation of when and where and how to use elements. So if you have a site-wide alert, well, where does that go? Does that go at the top of the page? Is that like a modal and takes over the entire page? How does that work? So there's usually some rules and guidelines of how to use these things, how to implement them. And typically there is, you know, some code, that snippet you can see just to see like how it's constructed as well. So you've got the home base of the website, which basically serves as your documentation hub. You've got your design tools, you've got your developer tools. And then additionally, you might actually have a style guide with your design system. And the style guide will consist of color palette, typography choices, how certain typographic elements are laid out. So how you have your horizontal rules, how you have your whole lockup with your header, your subhead, your byline, you know, date, how you might have a commenting component, how you might have a block quote, or how you show an address. So all those type elements might be also listed in your style guide, and it'll have all your font sizes and stuff like that as well. So that is the fourth thing that you might find in a design system. Not always, but generally speaking, those are the four things you're gonna see in a design system. And again, think about it. This is how we do stuff. This is how we show our addresses. This is how we show our multi-tabbed, you know, element on a page. Here's how we do a modal. Here's what a card looks like. Here's how we set up our typography. Here's the color choices that we have set up for our brand and for our product. And what this does is allows designers to very easily start using a library of assets to start creating their ideas of how to make a new service, improve a product, make a product, so that they can then get that out and tested, see how well people understand it, and then they can move it to production. That is the most base understanding, base way of a system. And I used to think that design systems were one of these things that like only large companies would build because they were so large. Like you had, you know, how did Spotify create a consistent user experience on their web app and their desktop app and their mobile app? So, you know, you had to be a large company to use a design system. That was my thinking. And they were also, I thought, like all totally branded to that stuff. I'm like, why would they even publish a design system? You know, it's for them. What does it matter to anybody else? So as I started getting further along in my career, I was thinking, okay, I see the value of this. This is great. If I was going to build a Salesforce module that would connect with my WordPress installations for stuff, I would want to build it in the same way that Salesforce has. And they have their own design system, the Lightning design system, that I can build and, you know, design my service that'll be in the same realm and the same guidelines as Salesforce's platform. But then when I started really thinking about it, I'm like, the value of design systems go even further than just like, this is how we do things at XYZ big company. Now, the value for XYZ big company, whatever your big company is, you might have a large design team, you might have a small design team. Doesn't matter. If you have the rules of the road of like, this is how we, you know, this is design at this company, this is how we build our products and services, this is how you are able to create something that then can actually get built by developers, then that's super helpful. That is absolutely an investment that a large company would make so that they have consistency over time. And then as they grow and they change and they become more mature, their system might also change and grow. So these things are not just like set in stone. They also evolve. They also grow over time. So why would you think about having a design system if you're not at a large company? So I started thinking about this a good bit, and I see the value that this brings in for smaller organizations, you know, small to mid-sized organizations, that especially if you don't have a, you know, set design practice. Like if you only have like a couple of designers and stuff, maybe a couple of developers, I'm thinking like small, scrappy teams, why would you want to use a design system? Well, a design system is actually kind of really helpful because then you have a starting place instead of having to do everything from scratch. Now, you probably wouldn't want to take Amazon's design system and start like kind of bastardizing that and make it for your own product. I mean, you probably could if you did some heavy customization of it, but yeah, you might not want to use a big branded one. However, there are other like less opinionated and more freeform design systems out there that anyone can use for any project regardless. So for me, I understood this this design system called Semantic UI. It was one of the first ones I saw that was like, oh, this is not tied to a big company. This is not company specific. This is one that anyone can use for whatever purposes. And they had some themed looks. Like they had an Amazon theme UI system there. But their base system was like, here, take this, customize it, use it for your own projects. And I was like, holy shit, that's amazing. Because earlier in my career as, you know, more on the brand and marketing side, I would always like have to recreate every single time. Here's how we're going to do the buttons. Here's how we're going to do this. And our developers had to build all that stuff from the ground up. But what a design system gave us in those earlier days gave us the ability to like have a 1,000-yard head start. Like we were able to take something and customize it, add our own style sheets over top of it, and we were able to create, you know, incredibly distinct and unique experiences all using the same base system. So that really sped up our work, and it also gave us that consistency that we were looking for so that when we created something for the Humane Society and they wanted a certain branded look and feel for everything, cool. We were able to use the same base system, create some customization to sit on top of it, and they had theirs, versus the law firm that I did some work for used the same base system, but you wouldn't be able to tell that they're using the same base system because of the customization. So I did less work on building everything from the ground up and just more work on just customization, but I was able to use that system. And that's where I saw the value of a design system for, you know, the brand and marketing folks who are doing digital work. But that was helpful. But I thought more about like the larger organizations, like your software as a service, your platform as a service companies. I was thinking about your large enterprise organizations. I was thinking about government use. In my previous gig, I was doing a lot of stuff for enterprise level government products and services. And those were things that like, man, that has a much wider reach. That is, I'm not making a one-off thing and customizing it. Now I've got to create a system that's going to be the single source of truth for anyone across the Commonwealth or across the nation or globally. So that was a larger consideration. That was a larger set of requirements to think about. So as I was continuing to grow as a designer and understanding the value that design systems brought to an organization, it was interesting because there was still some people that were kind of like holdouts that like, oh, we don't need a design system. We can just create our own stuff. And I was like, all right, yeah, it's cool. But why do you want to reinvent the wheel? Why do you want to make something completely custom every single time? I think there was a little bit of fear, especially earlier on. I think I remember like 2014 that some people I talked to that were very anti-design system because they felt like, well, it made them redundant. Like they couldn't be creative with that. And I was like, all right, that's pretty dumb, because if you think that you still can't be creative and create something and make something that's custom and, you know, experiential off of a design system, like, you know, maybe design's not for you. And also developers are like, no, I don't want to use this because I don't like the language or I don't like how this is all built. I think we could build it better. And it's like, okay, but do you really want to spend all that time doing that? So those were some of the, you know, the sticks in the mud, the early stuff that I had heard, you know, that people didn't like design systems. And I just thought it was a weird thing, because I think it was all based in fear. All based in fear that a design system takes the need out for a designer. And if you don't need a designer, then anyone can design the product because you have a really good system. Therefore, no designers, not needed. Designers fearing for their jobs. Oh my God, run for the hills. And I think the conversation, I think that mentality has shifted, is that, you know, designers are not hired purely just to, you know, push pixels around on a screen. And they're really hired for their knowledge, their understanding of heuristics and user psychology and how to build products that are usable, useful, and used. So those designers really understood that. Those folks, I think that they help to push the industry forward. They help to mature design systems. They help to grow a company. So you can't just completely automate design out the window and get rid of the designer. The designer is a part and parcel of the design team, the design practice, and they help utilize these tools. Because at the end of the day, a design system is a tool, not the be-all, end-all. And it's been a very interesting ride to understand that type of work and understanding the value that a design system has. And as I have been working in the last, let's see, four places that I've worked at, building design systems so that we can get to market faster. We have a common core understanding of how we build, how we design our systems, regardless of where they were going to be at, whether they're going to be desktop applications, mobile applications, web, whatever. There was a common understanding that we built components in a certain way, and the reason why we did that was objective. They were meeting certain accessibility needs. They were consistent the whole way through, and that got rid of a lot of the subjective, like, you know, artistic, you know, asshole mentalities. Because if they couldn't get with the system, then like we had bigger issues then. So last four gigs, building design systems, learning along the way, and understanding, You know, what are some of the particular needs? All the different audiences, like who is this design system for? Well, at the ultimate end of the day, the system is there to serve the users, the people who are going to be using whatever services and products that you're using the system with. So you need to build it in a way that understands, you know, the business and understands like how it's going to be utilized and whatnot. Other audiences that utilize the systems are the designers themselves. And they're the ones either building your system or going to be utilizing your system over time. Additionally, developers are going to be utilizing your system. And really good teams that understand the relationship of design development as like cohesion, they utilize the design system as a single source of truth. So if something doesn't exist in the system, does it need to be? Is it an evolution of something that's already there, or is it replacing something that's outdated, or is it completely new and we have to add it, wondering what the use case is for it? Is it a one-off, or is it something that we can use in multiple different places? That way, there is a complete understanding, an objective understanding of what you're going to be utilizing it for. And then with designers and developers having a shared language to be able to create what it is they've designed, that is incredibly powerful so that when developers actually go and build things out, it's meeting the expectations. There's a great meme that I saw years ago, and I still have it saved somewhere on my computer. It's this idea of a tire swing on a tree. And it's like, here's how they sold it. Here's how UI designed it. Here's how developers did it. Here's how QA looked at it. And every time in every panel, the tree tire swing looks different. It's broken, whatever. And I think what happens is that that meme is absolutely, you know, true in a lot of respects when you don't have a system in place, when you don't have a shared language, when you don't have a shared understanding of how the system and how your products and services are built and worked and how they're going to be evolved over time. So I love that meme. It's fantastic. And I think that it's so on point for a lot of smaller organizations, mid-sized organizations, really any organization that doesn't have a system in place. They go through this churn of not having the same shared understanding and language of how to build certain things. Everyone's got their own opinion. And at the end of the day, who's really suffering? Well, everyone is in our own different way, but ultimately, the users of your product and service are going to suffer, just like how I created that really shitty website with all those different colored buttons and different mega menus, and oh my god, it's bad. So a good system will allow you to scale, grow, and create predictability and consistency for your users. And you want that to not make them think. You don't want to make them think about how do I buy this thing? How do I do this thing? How do I make this transaction? How do I enable this thing? You know, that is something that you really need to think about, and a system does help you do that. So there are some great resources on design systems out there. UX Collective, they have a lot of great articles and posts from different authors around design systems. One in particular that I really like is called What the Heck is a Design System? And it's fantastic. I am going to totally butcher this person's name. You know what? Let's just gloss over that. Go to UX Collective and look at What the Heck is a Design System. A really good, succinct article about what it is, why it's valuable. And it's like a 3-minute read. So there's some really great articles on design systems. There's some really great design systems out there that you can look and become inspired from. Semantic UI, I believe, has just been repicked back up as an open source project. It's great. It's one of the ones I go to a lot to think about how to, you know, tackle certain UI elements. And what should I look at, and you know, how should I consider when I'm building other design systems? There's a great podcast called Design Systems Podcast. It's in the name. This podcast is awesome. I've been listening to it for probably last couple of months, and it was actually kind of an inspiration for me to talk about, you know, design systems for this episode. Additionally, with a Twitter poll that I put out, and design systems was one of the things that people really was like, hey, you should talk about this. So Design Systems Podcast has got a number of really great episodes, and they have interviews with folks from large companies like Adobe, Salesforce, and other places, and talk about various areas of consideration building a design system and the value that those design systems have brought to those companies. And I mean, if you really want to nerd out and go deep into this subject, absolutely listen to the Design Systems Podcast. Some great design systems out there that I think do a really good job is U.S. Digital Services, U.S. Web Design System. So it's the U.S. Digital Services, part of General Services Administration. So this is all government-focused right now. This design system, we used to refer to it in my last company as U.S. Woods, U.S. Web Design System, is a great design system for building public-facing websites that are federal government websites. And it's got a great library, a list of components, the code bases for it. They have a number of different code bases that you can utilize if you're using React or Angular or whatever. It's open source, so you can absolutely use it with proper attribution and accreditation. And it's a great system. And if you go to any federal websites, I think the Veterans Administration, Veterans Affairs, and a number of other sites, like they utilize this system really well. And it's very clean, very easy to understand, and it creates an intuitive understanding of how to use these sites. In Canada, the Aurora Design System is their federal Canadian equivalent to the U.S. Web Design System. The Aurora Design System is really good. And it even includes sections about if you're a writer, this is how you write for websites in Canada. And I thought that was a great addition to their system. Additionally, there's some other ones, kind of rattle them off here. The Lightning Design System from Salesforce is a really good one, includes some animation and interaction stuff that I thought was really cool. There is the Carbon Design System. This is through IBM. Carbon is really interesting. They have a lot of products at IBM, a lot of services that they need to integrate with, and the Carbon Design System, I like to call it like the Band-Aid, the glue that connects everything together, and you can really customize over top of it. Shopify has their own, Buffer has their own, and just check out, you know, look up, you know, design systems, and you're going to see a lot of really good ones. One I really like, Nachos by Trello, which is part of Atlassian, but the Nachos design system makes me hungry every time, but it's really great. It's really fully thought out. And all these systems have the ability for you to download the code and also use the design tools to design in those systems. So there's some great resources out there. Definitely check out the Design Systems Podcast. They're great folks. Check out those design systems I talked about. And check out UX Collective on Medium. They have got some really great articles on this. And yeah, I figure end 2020 on a high note. Something new, something interesting that I haven't talked about before. I would love to hear your thoughts, some success stories of any of you designers out there that are using a design system, whether for the first time or you manage a design system and you've built one up. I'd love to hear your success stories of how your system has helped you. And for those of you who are more in project management or developers, or you're in leadership and management, I'd love to talk and have some questions and conversations around like more value, the ROI that design system brings to your work, regardless if you are a project manager, a developer, or in leadership. The value that this tool brings is exponentially pays for itself over time. In my view, it really does, because when you're not having to spend time to finagle over a button and you're able to get work done more efficiently and quicker and more meaningfully, the proof is right there. So with that, I want to say thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Everyone, stay safe and I hope that you have a great holiday season, and if all willing, you might get a few more episodes, but we'll see you in 2021. Everyone have a great holiday, and thanks a lot.